Good evening, everyone. Well, I want to say that I get the honor to introduce Mr. Norman to you tonight. And I have a little bit of a backstory that I need to tell because it kind of is an answered prayer tied into meeting someone that I definitely call a friend now. So everyone should know, or if you don't, my wife was given a cow by her aunt and uncle in California. When we were on our way back from California, we saw the sign for the Manuelito Children's Home. And as we were driving along, she was driving at that time, I Googled the children's home, and I was like, man, I was like, this is a Church of Christ-centered home. I was like, we need to do something for them. And when we got back, we had our deacons meeting, and I presented it to our deacons, and JP told me, he said, hey, my brother and them, they go down there and help them. I'll see if we can't do something with them. Fast forward that to this last summer, I'm on my way back from Texas, and of course, Julian's in the youth group now, and we got a message and said, Gallup, New Mexico. And I was like, what is in Gallup? And I looked at her, and I said, it's that children's home. I said, I bet we're going there. So I had her call or text Jeremy to ask what it was, and he immediately called me, and he said, we're going to Manuelito Children's Home. I need a driver. Are you interested? And I looked at Contessa, and I feel like I'm going to cry about now because it's all about children with us. And I told her, absolutely, we're on our way. And I mean, we had been on the road for 3 weeks, and we're like, you know what? It's not going to stop us. Let's go ahead and do it again. So we leave, and we're headed out there on this Thursday, and we had no idea really what we were getting into. But this rodeo, it's all about bucking bulls, and it's called the Wild Thing. And it is some of the baddest bulls that you could possibly imagine. And we get there. Of course, there's some craziness on the way. We had a bus get a flat tire, and we were kind of running behind a little bit. And as soon as we pull in, Rod says, you got to change and get ready. And I mean, and it was a head-spinning moment. We had to go. We get out, and we separate the boys and the girls. The girls go up to do the concessions. The boys come down so we can park all the cars. And we're sitting out there, we kind of not really knowing what to do. And I've got this gentleman walks up with this awesome-looking cowboy hat, this nice little strut to him, and introduces himself to me as Norman. He said, this is my rodeo here for our children's home. I can tell you what seemed like only 5 minutes, probably was about a 30-minute conversation, and I knew within 5 minutes that I knew that this man was a good man and that we were already friends, and like we had been talking, that we've known each other for years. As I sat there and got to know him a little bit more, I found out that he grew up in this home, that his parents were the ones that basically led the home when he was there. And when he turned 18, he honestly couldn't get out fast enough, basically, is what he told me, because it's like any 18-year-old kid ready to go out and see the world. Moved himself to Texas, where he met his wonderful wife, Kathy, who is also an awesome person. And within 5 minutes of knowing her, we felt like we were really good friends. I remember telling Norman, I want my wife to meet you guys. And when I got up there, she was saying, I want you to meet this girl. So it kind of tied in. It was pretty awesome. But he said when he was in Texas, I think it was the Louisville Church of Christ is where they were attending. And they came to him and said, hey, we need you to go to the children's home in New Mexico and take some supplies out there. And he thought, why me? He's like, what's going on? So he prayed about it, you know, thought about it. And he goes, I'm going to go out there. And all the way out there, he's like, I'm not staying. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to do this. He goes, I don't really want to be there. He said they sat down for a meeting. And before Jim Christensen ever said a word, where can I help you out? And that's the kind of man that I am presenting to you tonight. A man with a big heart, who loves children just as much as I do. And I got, guys, I really promise you, if you just sit down and get to talk to him just for a little bit, you can say that you can call him a friend also. So without further ado, Norman, I'm going to give you the floor. Thank you very much.
Good evening. How's everybody this evening? I think I'm doing okay. I think I'm going to move here. You know, every time I speak somewhere, it's always somewhere beautiful. And I keep telling people I'm going to move there. So I've probably moved from California to Virginia to no matter where I'm going to be, it's always beautiful. And you guys have a beautiful state here, and I love it. I'd like to welcome you to New Mexico, land of enchantment. where the sunsets are beautiful. It's like I tell people, if you've never seen a beautiful sunset, come out to New Mexico and I'll show you a beautiful sunset. Gallup is located near the Navajo Reservation. The Navajo Reservation covers 27,000 square miles. It's the largest Native American reservation in the United States. The unemployment rate on a reservation is one of the highest in the United States. The poverty, again, is one of the highest in the United States. As you can see up on the screen, the income for a family of four is not that much. So they struggle each and every day with different things. The biggest problem we have today still is alcohol. As you can see up on the screen, 40% of men, 20% of women are in the alcohol program somewhere. The other two problems we have on the reservation today is water source. See up on the screen, this is how they get their water. Some of them have barrels on the back of their pickups that they go different places to get their water. There used to be a lot of wells out on the reservation, but most of those wells on the reservation have become contaminated. So they have to go to the nearest town to get the water. Some of them even have trailers with big old water tanks on the back of them. The other problem they have is electricity. They're trying to get electricity out to some of the people out on the reservation by the solar panels and stuff. But they struggle each and every day living this way. We have the privilege of going home, opening up our refrigerator, getting something cold to drink. We have the privilege of going home, kicking that little dial on the air conditioner to cool us down. These people don't have that privilege. But they're very proud. They're proud of their culture. They're proud of who they are. They struggled like this year round. The children's home actually started as a Navajo mission on the reservation. There was two cinder block buildings there. One was a chapel. The other one was just a storage shed. There was two congregations that oversaw this mission. One was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the other one was in Farmington, New Mexico. And both churches from this mission were about 2 hours away. So it was hard for somebody to come and oversee this mission like it needed to be taken care of. So in 1950, they asked Gallup Church of Christ to oversee this mission, and Gallup Church of Christ agreed. Well, prior to that, the poverty on the reservation was just as bad. But the people around this mission knew that people were there, that they could take care of their kids. So they started dropping their children off at this mission, hoping somebody could take care of the kids. The kids were starving. The kids weren't getting taken care of. Their clothes, they weren't getting clothes properly. So they were hoping that this mission could take care of. Well, when Gallup Church of Christ took over this mission, they saw the need of the children. So they turned this mission into what we have today, Manalito Navajo Children's Home. They took the chapel, they turned it into the living quarters, like the kitchen area, the living room, the dining room. They took the other building that had all the clothes in it. They took them out. They built three rooms. They put girls on one side, boys on the other side, and the house parents that was working there in the middle. There was another building, a trailer out in back, but you can't see it. But they were growing. And the superintendent was running the children's home. His health was declining. But he knew my parents. He knew my dad. So he called him and said, I need help. Will you come and help? Well, my dad went out there and helped. This is Bernie and Noreen Atchison. This is my foster parents. My dad was a master plumber in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. My mom worked at a small clinic. She was a secretary. Well, the gentleman called my dad and asked him to come help. Dad and quit his job for about a year so he can come out there and help become house parents. Well, the problem was Mom fell in love with the kids. Dad quit his job, and they came out and did the work. Well, like I said, the gentleman that running the children's home at the time, his health was declining. So they asked my dad to become superintendent. My dad ran the children's home for about 25 years. This is actually pictures from the old home. You can see the smile on the kids' faces. They have food. They have clothes. They have somebody that cares for them. This is me and my family. There were six of us that grew up in the home. I'm the little one with the cowboy hat on. This is me again. Before I was able to go to school, I used to travel with Dad. Dad would go out and do presentations, raise money for the home, and I was able to go travel with him quite often. Well, Mom said we got back from Texas, and Dad did a presentation there, and some of the older ladies grew liking to me, so they went and bought my first cowboy hat, my first pair of boots, and I still wear them today. Not those boots. My wife let me buy a pair of brand new boots. This is me and my foster brother at the Tulsa Lectureship. Back then, the lectureship was in a tent. The displays were in the big old tent. And this year, Mom said we went there and it was raining pretty good. So Mom put us up on the display so we wouldn't get muddy and wet because we were fixing to go to dinner that evening. Well, at the dinner that evening, a gentleman was speaking and he looked down at my dad and said, "Mr. Atchison, I liked your live display that you brought this year." The children's home out on the reservation was on about 4 or 5 acres. It wasn't very big, and we were growing. We were getting kids left and right. Well, Dad started hunting for some property, and he found this property here. It's about 15 miles out of Gallup. Up on the top is I-40, and down below is O-66. Well, Dad found this property, and he was talking to the gentleman. And the gentleman said, "Yes, Mr. Atchison, I'd like to sell the property. But the problem is, I need the money in about 3 months. Well, Dad hit the road off and on for 3 months to raise money. Mom stayed home and took care of the kids. And on Dad's excursion, on his last trip, he stopped at this congregation. A gentleman was doing yard work. Dad introduced himself, told him what his need was, and the gentleman said, "Sorry, Mr. Atchison, but the money we have saved up, we're going to pave our parking lot." My dad said, "That's okay." He goes, "I just want to put some roofs over some kids' heads." Well, they exchanged information. My dad went back to where he was. A couple of hours later, the gentleman called my dad and said, "Would you mind coming down to the church? The elders would like to meet with you." My dad went back down to the church, met with the elders. They wanted to hear the presentation. My dad gave them the presentation. When my dad left, he had the rest of the money to buy this property. And now the children's home sits on 27 and a half acres. It's amazing what God can do when you let God do his job. Now I'd like to welcome you to Manolito Children's Home. This is our older boy, oldest one on campus now. This is AJ. This is Jim Christian and his family, the superintendent of the children's home. This is Cottage 1. Cottage 1 and Cottage 2 was built in 1963, and we were able to move into both cottages in the summer of 64. This is Antonio and Josephine. They have all girls in their cottage. This is Cottage 2. This is the Wilson Cottage. They have all boys in their cottage. This is Cottage 3. Cottage 3 was built in 1966. And this is John and Tina, our relief house parents. When Kathy and I first started working for the children's home, we were house parents. We lived into this cottage, taking care of kids. And then we got moved up to relief house parents. So we went on working, and Jim needed somebody to do PR work, so he asked me, and I did. We did relief and PR work at the same time. So it was kind of difficult, but we worked it out. The house parents on campus get a week off once a month. So they go to the relief house, and John and Tina watches out for them for that week or 2 weeks that they're off. This is our family, our little family. This is Monica. We've had her since she was about 2 years old. She just turned 12. We have a shop on campus. We have a wood shop and an auto mechanic shop. We have a maintenance man that comes in every day and works for us. He does all of our maintenance on the houses, and he works on all of our vehicles as well. This building up in front has a lawnmower, our tractors, so we can do our yard work. It's like I tell people, yes, we do mow, but we don't get to mow grass. We get to mow weeds. And I promise you, if we don't mow our weeds, they get pretty high. So that's our building right there. We have a pantry on campus, like a small grocery store that the house parents get to come and get the groceries that they need. We have one of our house fathers takes care of the pantry, and he gets a pantry list from the house mothers, and then he goes to town and picks up the groceries that they need, and then they come to the pantry and pick out the extra items that they need. When Kathy and I started doing PR work, we started looking around campus trying to figure out, where can we start? What is PR? How do we get involved? Because we've never done it before. We walked into the pantry so she could get her groceries. There was nothing on the shelves. So Kathy and I looked at each other and said, this is a good place to start. So we started contacting congregations that support the home to do food drives. And ever since we've started that, it has exploded. We have more pantry, more groceries than we need. And it's wonderful how people just jump up on board to help these children. We have two congregations that will supply meat for us. All Kathy has to do is to call them and say, hey, we need some meat, no problem. It'll be there in a couple of days. So it's wonderful to see people want to take care of these kids. We have a clothing room on campus. We have a lot of people that donate clothes to the children's home. We have a lady that works in there and goes through all of our clothes and puts them where they need to go. The extra clothes, the adult clothes that we give them to the needy families that are around the reservation as needed. This is JJ. This is Monica's little brother. As you see up on the screen, this is me and him. His first day at the children's home when his mom checked him in. And if you can see in my hand, I have a little bag. And in that little bag, this picture up here is all what he had in it. He didn't have much. We had a family of four that came to the children's home that the mother checked in. She brought a trash bag, and the trash bag was half full of their clothes. So that's what our clothing room is for. We're able to take these kids over to the clothing room and get them the clothes that they need until we're able to go to town to get them some more. I was going through some pictures up at the office trying to figure out different things about my slides. And I came along this picture right here. This is my dad and a brand new pickup that congregation donated to the children's home. Well, on the other side is a picture of me, of a gentleman that donated a pickup and a trailer for Mike and Kathy's use so we could travel. It came from an estate. We have a lot of people that give children their children's home from the estate. We've been blessed over the last couple of years. God has answered a lot of prayers. We still need prayers each and every day. We needed new washer and dryers. Our old washer and dryers that we had, they were used, and David was fighting with them each and every day. One of them would go out in cottage, and he'd have to go over there and try to fix it. Problem was, it was hard to get parts for them. So we got on the phone again, and once again, God answered our prayers, and we were able to get new washer and dryers for our cottages. We have a Christian school on campus. We have from second grade to 12th grade in our Christian school. We have two teachers that teach our students. We do what you call a PACE program. It's like homeschool. So our kids go at their own pace. And being on the reservation, it helps out a lot of the kids. It's like for me, I wish they had the PACE program when I was growing up, because I have alcohol syndrome. I can read on probably a third, fourth grade level. So that would have helped me out quite a bit. Like Monica, like I said, she turned 12, and she just got into the ninth grade. So most of these kids can go at their own pace, and some of them can go as slow as they want, and it helps them to learn a lot more. We have a gymnasium on campus. Can anybody tell me anything about this picture? The dolphins. When Kathy and I started working there, the gentleman was showing us around campus, because Kathy's never been there. So he was showing us different cottages and showing us the gym and stuff like that. And we walked over here, and I saw the dolphins on the gym, because it wasn't there when I was there. And I said, what is the dolphins on the gym for? He goes, that's our mascot. And I looked at him, I said, here in New Mexico? I was doing a presentation in California, and the deacon that I was working with, we were going through the slides, and we were talking about this picture right here. And he goes, yeah, Norman, didn't you know California was going to fall off into the ocean, and you would be the next state? I said, okay, now I know why they call it the dolphins. We have chapel each and every day at our Christian school. We have kids that come from town that go to our Christian school. All of our kids on campus, they go to the gym to have lunch, even though their cottage is probably next door from the school. But they all go to the gym to have lunch. And then afterwards, they have chapel. We come to find out that it's not only our kids that we take care of that need Christ. What about the ones that come to our Christian school? What about their souls? So we started doing chapel there, and since we've started, we've had probably about three or four families that have started attending our congregation in Gallup. We have a banquet every year. It's fun to have a banquet for these kids. They get to go tear up the gym for a week and have fun, and then it's all beautiful once they get finished with it, and they get to dress up and have fun, and it's exciting for these kids to get involved with different things. Our kids take martial arts 3 times a week. Jim and Judy has a martial arts studio in town, and this past week, I wasn't there, but this past week they had their next belt promotions. And so I know that some of them got their new belts as well. And it helps them to get away from the PlayStation and the Xbox, and gives them some exercise and gets them out away from that for a while. It's like I tell people, I've had this picture in here for quite a while. It says a lot for me. These are our older boys, probably about 4 years ago. A church burnt down on a reservation. They were able to raise the money to rebuild. And our preacher was going out there to help to rebuild. A lot of people came out of state to help to rebuild this congregation. And he took a couple of boys out there one time to help rebuild. And then a couple of other boys wanted to go. We ended up having probably about four or five of our boys going to help rebuild this congregation. And they took about a year off and on to rebuild it. What was so neat about it is the men that came to help rebuild this congregation from out of state would take these young boys and say, come here, let me show you how to do drywall. Come here, let me show you how to do plumbing. Let me show you how to do electrical. They were taking these young boys that don't know anything and teaching them how to do different things. And our boys would come home and they would say, can we go back next weekend? Yes. Jeff was going to come by and pick you guys up. They were so excited that they wanted to go and help rebuild this church. Our work's never done. We're always busy. When you have eight boys in a cottage or eight girls in a cottage, you're always busy. Even as big as our campus, we're always busy. This is our board members that run the children's home. As you know, we have a lot of youth groups that come by every summer to help. Different projects that they do for us to keep our campus looking nice and neat. Projects that we can't do during the wintertime. So the youth groups and individuals come to help us do different things. Even stripe a parking lot. It's just something that we can't do that we can get somebody else to do for us. And it's exciting to see our kids get involved with different youth groups from different towns and different states. My mother and my father left me, but the Lord took me in and made me his. How true is that statement? We're all God's children, but there are some children out there that need God more than we do. Like I said, this is Monica. We had her right before her second birthday. Her mom came and brought her in, signed her into the children's home. The superintendent always asks, what is your need? How can we help you? Monica's mom looked at the superintendent and said, she's in my way. It's like I tell people, can you look at your kids or your grandkids and say that they're in your way? We go to LTC in Tucson every year. Get our kids involved. You got to remember that these kids come from broken homes, alcoholic homes, abused homes. They don't know what their family's all about. They're probably just wondering, what's happened to my world? So if we can get them involved with LTC, it builds them up, builds up their spirits, builds them up that they can be, that they are somebody. And it's exciting to see these kids involved. And then next year, they want to do something else. They want to get involved even more. Ever since we've had Monica, I've tucked her in the bed, and I've prayed with her, teaching her how to pray. She's 12 years old now. I sit in my recliner, and she comes and gets me. Dad, time for bed. And she does this thing, I don't know how, where she got it from, but she does this thing now where she'll look at me and she'll look up at me and she'll go, Uppy, Uppy. I'll pick her up, take her to bed. One evening I sit in my recliner and she came up to me and she did that. I picked her up, I looked at her and I said, are you going to be doing this when you're 16 years old? She looked at me and smiled and she goes, yes. Just being an example to these kids, getting them involved in different things, letting know that these kids are special, letting them know that they do have a family. It might not be their real family, but it's their family. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. There's that key word, teaching them. It doesn't say there, it doesn't say teach to the elderly. It doesn't say teach to the young married couple. It says teaching them. Who are them? We are them. Your community around here is them. The children that we take care of is them. Your youth group is them. Teaching them about Christ. And that we hope that someday they can be part of our Christian family. God has a plan. We don't know what it is, but God has a plan for each and every one of us. When I worked at University of North Texas, I didn't know what God had planned for me. Like David said, when I graduated from high school, I said I was never going to go back to Gallup because I knew what it was like. I didn't want to be there. I didn't even want to go there, see anything. But like I tell people, God put a dot right there where Gallup was, and he made a circle. He said, I know where I need you, Norman. Monica came home one day from school, asking Kathy, Mom, I want to make cookies. Well, Kathy got out the recipe, was showing her how to make cookies, teaching her how to cook. The bad thing about it was I had to help her eat those cookies. Just getting these kids involved. All of our kids on campus have chores to do every day. They have chores to do in the evening. Just teaching them how to survive. So when they graduate, they can take care of themselves. We love our job. And I'll be honest with you, it gets stressful. You just want to throw your hands up. But when you look at these kids' face, you can't. You know where God needs you. You know where God wants you to be, to take care of kids that just want a family. AJ, he's never played sports before. He had the opportunity the last 4 years to play baseball for the school in town. The past 2 years, he's been able to play football. And we didn't know how good he was. He loved football. This picture right here was his first year playing football. He was so good that the coach had scouts come and look at him. He wants to play football, and he loves it. So he had the opportunity to play. We do different projects at the home to raise money for the home. This is our 5K that we do in town. We get the community involved with the home to raise money. And this is our championship bull riding. This is our biggest fundraising of the year that we do every year. We do the parking, the concession stand, and all the money goes to the children's home. We raised over $17,000 this year. That's after we paid all of our bills, paid all the food, groceries, whatever needed to be done. We brought home $17,000. So this is our big fundraising of the year, and we really enjoy y'all coming out and getting involved with it. This is our campus. There's two things that we need help with. We need help with our budget. We haven't met our budget for this year. We've had a lot of small churches close their doors. So our budget, we hadn't met our budget this year. We're about $50,000 in the hole right now. But the other thing we want to do is we want to build another circle. Mr. Christian was talking to a social worker that came in one day to check on the kids that she put in the home. She comes by every month or once every two months to check on them, see if there's anything that she needs the help with. Mr. Jim was talking to her and asked, if I build a cottage, can you bring me kids? She goes, yes. He goes, well, if I build three cottages, can you bring me kids? She looked at Jim and she said, Mr. Christian, I have 100 kids right now that I have nowhere to put. So if you can build me three cottages, I can fill you up. So there is a need for more housing to help these kids. This is some of the ways that you can help with the children's home. Kathy and I have a display out in the foyer. We have some brochures on there that you can come by. We'd love for you guys to come by and meet us. We'd love to meet you and pick up the papers. And if you have any questions, we'd like to answer them if possible. If we don't know the answer to it, we get it for you. We're not supported by the state. We don't get any money from the state at all. Children's Home is supported by congregations as yourself, individuals as yourself. And it's been like that from the beginning. We want to keep the state out of it. The state only comes to check the campus to make sure that the kids are taken care of properly. That's the only reason they come out to see the home. But the home is taking care of Christian friends and family like yourself. This is my mom and dad. I dedicate what I do for them. If it wasn't for them, it's like I tell people, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here today talking to you. Because when they got me and my family, it was in the middle of winter time. And mom said, if they wouldn't got me off the reservation then, us and my family, I probably wouldn't be here today. So I dedicate what I do for them, the example that they set for me. I'd like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here this evening to talk about the home. Like I said, if you have any questions, we'd love to answer them. Let's take a moment and change the subject for just a minute. Has any of y'all got a splinter in your hand or a paper cut? It hurts, doesn't it? I know when I'm over at the shop doing woodwork, I usually get one of those and it drives me crazy, so I have to get a pocket knife, pair of tweezers, and get it out. But it still hurts. What if you had this in your hand? There was a young man that walked upon this earth that sacrificed himself for us. He didn't have to, but he did. He died on the cross for us. He knew where that path was leading, but he didn't veer off to the right or to the left. He walked down that narrow path to the cross. For who? For me and you. Did we deserve it? No. But this young man knew we did. They spat upon him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They even put a spear up the side for me and you. We all know this memory verse by heart. We all learned it as a kid. God loved the world that he gave his only son. His only son. What is your gift? What can you give back to God? When was the last time that you talked to your neighbors about Christ? When was the last time that you talked to the gentleman or the lady that's pumping gas? Or when was the last time you talked to the one behind the cash register? Do you know about Christ? Well, let me tell you about Christ. That's the gift that we can give God, is to spread his word about his son sacrificing his life for us. But whatever your need is this evening, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.